Up until Summerfest, I thought things were going pretty good with Ann and me. My buddy Paul's girlfriend Tammy Ray introduced us one Thursday at karaoke night at Spanky's Bar and Grill downtown. Ann was a looker. Blonde, blue eyes, short and petite mostly, but big in all the right places, you know? She was also a mama's girl in the best sense. One of those girls that will stick with you through thick and thin. A real keeper. Like that night, I left her house in a hurry after the Cubs lost another extra inning heartbreaker to the Cards. I got to thinking about how hard it was going to be to get up for work the next day, I guess, and gave her a peck on the cheek on my way out. She called me on my cell a few minutes later, made me turn my pickup around right then and there and come all the way back. She met me at the door with her hands on her hips and a look that would kill. Comings and goings are important, you know. Let's make sure we do it right. Every single time, okay? Then she reached up, wrapped her arms around my neck, and kissed me, hard, deep. I had a hell of a time getting to sleep after that. Imagine me, Mike McGoorty, the pushing 40 good-for-nothing high school dropout from the wrong side of town, still swinging a 32-ounce serrated head S-wing hammer 50 hours a week, building frigging pole barns for cows. Hooked up with a girl like this. So what if I was 4F and couldn't go over to Iraq just to get blown all to hell on IED Alley like my dumbass little brother Mac? If only the old man could have seen me with Ann. Loser my ass. Ann and me had been together a couple weeks then, and we wanted to do something special together. We decided to go to Summerfest up in Milwaukee for the July 4th weekend. We both liked live music a lot, and catching the local day acts was fine with us. We weren't really interested in the big name, high dollar commercial acts that came at night. "We'll be worn out by then and ready for bed," Ann said. And I swear she blushed when she said it. Actually blushed. So we both took Friday off and drove the hour and a half up to Milwaukee that morning. We took her car because it used a lot less gas than my truck. To get a general feel for the place, we paid a few bucks to ride the elevated tram. From up there, you could see it all. You could even smell the popcorn and brats cooking when the breeze blew right. Lake Michigan was on one side. Seagulls floated lazy there, rode the thermals. The Summerfest grounds ran along the lake, full of exhibit halls, tents, picnic tables, rest areas, restaurants, and lots of music stages. One for every different type of music there was, looked like, and one for every brand of beer brewed in Milwaukee. It was only noon and the wide black asphalt paths were filled with people laughing and pointing, kids running here and there like hungry seagulls themselves, diving in and out two or three times for every step their parents took forward. Anne had on this green and brown camouflage suit like the soldiers wear, baggy pants and shirt with lots of Velcroed pockets, except she had a big brim straw hat with a yellow ribbon wrapped around it that hung down her back, and she wore... what do they call those sort of short pants things? Pedal pushers? Before we even left home this morning, she'd gone through and marked her program in yellow highlighter with the acts she thought we might be interested in so we wouldn't miss anything. She didn't move her hand from the map, even when she touched me on the shoulder and pointed to one of the buildings with names with her other hand, like she was afraid she'd never find her place on the map again. Back on the ground, she charged off the L and led the way. I just tagged along. School teachers, I tell ya. We spent a couple hours just strolling around, stopped when we wanted to stop, grazed our way through the food stands. The crowd was a rainbow of people of all shapes and sizes and colors, except every once in a while you got the paranoid parents and kids all decked out in the same color outfits like some sports team looking for a better sponsor. My family had gone to the county fair once when I was 15. But the old man spent all our money on beer for himself before we got to go on any rides, and got so drunk he picked a fight with a rent-a-cop, and my mom made Mac and me carry him out to the parking lot where he leaned over and puked in some guy's brand new Malibu convertible. We had to beat it out of there fast after that. Wandering through Summerfest that Friday with Ann, seeing all these happy families in one place, I caught myself staring more than once. I thought about what it meant to be here with people you worried about, what it was like to take care of them in a crowd. I wondered if it was an adventure or a nightmare. Whenever Ann and me came to a music stage, we stood there and listened to a song or two. Pretty soon she'd say, "Are you liking it?" "Eh, take it or leave it," I'd say. "You're right, life's too short," Ann would say. "Let's keep moving." Then she'd take my hand again, give me a smile and a little tug, and we'd move on. After hearing a couple tunes from Ernie the Po' Boys at the Miller Genuine Draft Rhythm and Blues tent, we nodded at each other. Then we found some white plastic lawn chairs in the back of the tent and sat down. Ann pulled her chair next to mine, close. We watched for a while, and then she leaned over and pulled her sunglasses down her nose just a little and looked over at me, her big blue pupils and the whites of her eyes shining just above those dark, wide frames. "Check out the bass player. I haven't seen him breathe yet. Have you?" I looked. "Nope. I figure he's dead, but still standing, you think?" She laughed and pulled up another chair in front of her and turned it backwards to put her feet on. This time when she sat down, she reached over and laid her hand on my thigh and left it there. We sat like that for a half hour or so until the band took a break. Ann leaned her head into my chest and said, "Are you liking it?" "Yeah, I'm good," I said. "Real good." She patted my leg. "Why don't you go get us a couple cold beers?" People filed in and out of the rhythm and blues tent while the roadies milled around the stage. Taped music played in the background from several big black floor speakers. Nobody was in any rush. By the time I got back with the beers, a young family was taking their seats around a table just in front of us. The mom looked Fortune 500 in a dark blue two-piece suit with a beige silk blouse. She looked tired and hot. She wore a pendant necklace with a silver chain and a pale blue stone that made her eyes stand out. The baby on her hip, stripped to just a diaper, was red from the sun and streaked dirty from crying. A sleepy-looking 5 or 6-year-old boy dragged behind, clutching the mom's hand. She sat him in a chair next to her. The boy had curly blonde hair and her blue eyes. Cute. The dad, lugging a duffel-sized diaper bag over his shoulder, brought up the rear and plopped into a chair on the other side of the boy. Mom blew a few strands of long black hair out of her mouth and brushed more hair off her sweaty cheeks with her free hand. They were close enough for us to hear. "I gotta take Ellen over to the porta potties and change her," she yelled to Dad. "She's soaked. You watch Hank, okay?" Mom bent over with her face close to the little boy's. "You stay here and be good for Daddy, Hank. And maybe Mommy will bring you something cold and yummy, okay?" Ann turned to me and smiled. She had that look single women get when they're around little kids. "Yeah, yeah, pretty cute," I smiled back. "And quit sucking your thumb." Mom yanked Hank's hand away from his face. Ann gasped next to me. Hank froze, fist in midair. Mom just grabbed the duffel diaper bag, swung it over her shoulder, and headed for the porta potties across the road while she balanced the baby on her hip, all in one fluid motion that she'd done hundreds of times before. I took a slow sip of beer and watched. I remembered my mom trying to break Mac from sucking his thumb. We thought he'd never stop. Sprawled in his chair, Hank's dad sighed like he couldn't have walked another step. He had short blonde hair and wore dress clothes, like he'd just come from work somewhere downtown like his wife. Fortune 500 here, too, but Esquire casual. Short-sleeved dress shirt, creased slacks, black socks and wingtips. Made me feel sloppy in my khaki cargo shorts and raggedy old Cubs t-shirt. Ann was back to breathing normal now and smiled whenever the little boy turned to look at us. "Isn't he a doll?" she said, loud enough for him and his dad to hear. She scrunched her shoulders and wiggled against me when she said it. "Sit up," Dad said. Ann stiffened again at his tone. Hank squirmed slightly in his chair. I waited some more. "And take your thumb out of your mouth," Dad said, without looking over at Hank. Hank turned his head and glanced at his dad. He pulled his thumb out of his mouth, but kept it close to his lips. When he saw that his father wasn't looking at him, he jammed his thumb back in his mouth and sucked hard. Dad leaned forward, looked down at the ground, had his elbows on his knees and his hands in front of him, fingertip to fingertip. Then, with a quick jerk, he reached out and caught one of the legs on Hank's chair and yanked it so hard that Hank had to grab the top of the chair to keep from falling out. "Bet that got your thumb out of your mouth, huh, boy?" Ann took her hand off my thigh, crossed her arms over her breast, and squeezed herself like she was cold. I put my half-empty beer cup on the table. My mom got so frustrated with Mac sucking his thumb, she finally gave up and left it up to the old man to break him of the habit. Left it up to the boss of the house, to Mr. McGordy, the assistant high school principal, assistant dean of bad boys, dean of the dropouts, the enforcer himself. This here was nothing compared to that. Not yet, anyway. I did think Hank might cry, though. He scrunched up his face, and his bottom lip started to tremble. Dad whipped a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket and had a smoke in his mouth in one swift move, like the tough guys do in the movies. You better not be thinking about crying, you little baby, he said, pulling a Bic lighter from his pants pocket and lighting up. He stared over at Hank. Baby. Hank was trying his best not to cry, I could tell. He fought hard, but a couple tears ran down his cheek anyway. Where the hell is that bitch? Dad said to no one, looking in the direction Mom had gone. I couldn't feel Ann breathing against me anymore. She'd gone so still. I looked over and saw her chest move. She was still breathing, at least. I cleared my throat, focused on the big black speakers in front of me, and took another sip of my beer. I said, sit upright, damn it. Dad grabbed Hank by the shoulders this time, then picked him up and threw him back down hard on the chair seat. Hank didn't have a chance of holding back the tears now. His mouth got rigid, his lips tightened, and a long, wet sob broke out from deep in his throat. At that, Dad reached over and slapped him hard across the face. Ann jerked like the dad had hit her. She let out a loud gasp and covered her mouth with her hand. Too late. Shut the hell up, Dad said to the cement floor. Baby. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end. I got goosebumps on my arms. I felt a little sick to my stomach, but brushed that off to the beer. I thought about going over and slapping the shit out of that dad, but I knew it would just make things worse, eventually, for the kid. So I took a couple deep breaths, reached over, grabbed my clear plastic cup, and drained what was left of my beer. Around us, the tape music still blared from the speakers. The roadies were scrambling to get ready for the next set, which would start any minute now. People kept walking by on the hot asphalt paths outside, slipping in and out of the beer tents like nothing had happened. I relaxed some in my chair. Figured the worst was over now. The look on Hank's face was almost funny. His lips quivered, his eyes were shut tight, tears were streaming down his cheeks, and a bright red welt was rising on his cheek. But no more sound came out. Pretty tough kid, I thought, with a little grin. A lot like Mac. He'll be all right. Dad slipped back to a slouched position. He pinched his lit cigarette tight between his thin fingers and took a drag. Ann turned to me with wild eyes, panting. Mike, aren't you going to do something? She said, her own face red. Geez, Ann, I breathed. Quiet. I talked down to my empty beer cup. The guy's sitting right there. She jumped up out of her chair and stood over me. I don't care if everyone here hears me. She looked around quickly, daring someone, anyone, to speak. Her teeth were clenched. Her arms were up and her hands were in fists in front of her shoulders, like a boxer's. Anne, sit down, I said, standing up too. It won't do any good. You'll just make it worse for the kid. I reached for her, but she was already turning away from me. I've seen this kind before, I mumbled after her, stuck between the chairs. But she was already gone. She took three big steps and stopped right in front of Dad. I can't believe what I just saw. Her arms hung straight at her sides now, forced. Her lips trembled. Her clenched fists were white. Dad looked away. Then he took a long drag off his cigarette, turned, and blew smoke at her. Hank just stared up at Ann, wide-eyed. She stood her ground and stomped her foot hard on the cement floor like a little girl throwing a temper tantrum. You bastard! I can't believe what you did! She spit the words at Dad. She looked down at Hank, then turned away, tears in her eyes. She bolted for the exit, strutting, not running exactly, walked stiff, straight, hollow, knocking two lime green snow cones out of Mom's hand as she charged past her. Watch it, bitch! Mom yelled after Ann. She stopped in front of Dad. What's up her ass? Dad just shrugged. I don't know. Well, Skinny little skank owes me 2 snow cones, Mom huffed as she sat down next to Hank. Hank stared at the crystal green liquid pooling on the hot cement floor and stuck his thumb in his mouth. Mom smoothed her beige silk blouse and jammed the bottle in the baby's mouth. I picked Ann's cup up out of the spilled beer where she had kicked it over and ran after her. The Summerfest crowd was changing by then, from the happy family crowd of the early afternoon to the loud, hairy, heavily leathered Harley crowd of the evening. The streets felt more crowded now, too, harder to move through, dirtier, darker. I caught up with Ann, but she wouldn't stop, no matter what I said. I ended up having to take a bus home that night. Ann drove away in her car and left me stranded in the parking lot. Now, 3 weeks later, she won't return my calls, my emails, my text messages, nothing. I thought about going over to her house to talk to her, but that didn't feel right. I even went to Spanky's last week on karaoke night, but she wasn't there either. None of the regulars had seen her in a while. No, not a girl like that. I wish now we'd never gone to Summerfest. I wish now we'd never sat down in that damn beer tent. I wish now we'd just stayed home. Wish in one hand, shit in the other, the old man always said. See which one fills up the fastest.